Welcome back to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. When we hear about the world today that is the cradle of Islam, many will no doubt think of news that is often about war, as in Syria, or civil unrest, as in Egypt. But that would be at best only a partial picture, certainly in the grand sweep of history. And one of the places a very different picture will be on display in coming months is the Nelson Atkins Museum. A new exhibition called Echoes takes classical and ancient works of Islamic art and puts them alongside contemporary pieces, casting Islamic art in a new light. Joining us are Kimberly Masteller. She's the Beals Curator of South and Southeast Asian Art at the Nelson. Welcome to you, Kimberly.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Glad you're here. And Ashir Akram, who is a local Kansas City artist who is contributing a major work to the exhibit. Welcome to you, Ashir.
Good morning.
Kimberly, Kim, I want to begin with you and ask you the question that you open your own description of the exhibition with on the museum website. What is Islamic art?
Oh, you know, you asked one of the most difficult questions with the whole project.
You asked it, see.
I did. But I think it's an important one, and it's one we want to define. You know, art historians through the 20th century, when they've talked about Islamic art, it hasn't been necessarily a religious description. It's been a description that's more kind of culturally appropriate, and it talks about work that's produced in the regions where Islam has become a dominant culture.
So it's a geographic description more than anything else.
More geographic and cultural. And how we wanted to bring it together in this exhibition is that even though we're showing works from across the historical Islamic lands, from North Africa, which span from North Africa to Southeast Asia, there are things that unite them. And so we decided to go ahead and use that art historical term, even though we knew it was kind of problematic. It's not like if we said we were doing a show of Christian art, you might have an idea in your mind of
right.
what that
You'd
is.
Assume it's a religious iconography and scenes from the Bible or something, but that's not what you mean by Islamic art at all.
That's not what we mean, although some of the work is religious in content. In the show, but much of it is what we would call secular or courtly art, too.
So then what are the distinctive characteristics of art from this region and this culture? If I'm looking at a piece of art, how would I know it is Islamic art?
Well, I think you would notice there are kind of certain stylistic features which kind of unite a lot of the arts. And one of the most prominent is the use of the Arabic script and calligraphy or beautiful writing. And so Arabic script is used throughout the Islamic world, and we show many examples of that. It was developed and perfected from the writing systems like Aramaic from the ancient Near Eastern world. And it was meant to be beautiful, especially for Islamic purposes, because it carried the words of the revelations of God in the Quran or other kind of sacred texts. So they made a beautiful script. So we want to highlight historical examples of that, but also show how contemporary artists use that in their own work. Other features would be things like the use of vegetal imagery or arabesque scrolling vines, for example, which you see throughout the Islamic world. Vegetal floral imagery, also geometric imagery, and even abstract design and pattern. So those are probably some of the visual things that unite a lot of the works in the exhibition.
We're going to talk about the exhibition specifically here in a moment, but I want to ask our other guest, Ashir Akram. You are a local Kansas City artist. Would you describe your work generally as being influenced by the Islamic art history and cultural heritage?
Yeah. I guess in a one-sentence explanation, what we've done is we've taken a Pakistani tradition, we've bred it with an American aesthetic, and tried to create a hybrid of art and culture that kind of matches what they do over there as far as thought behind the vehicles that they make. And we've just done it in kind of a Midwest way, using a lot of traditional Moffets that they use to create Islamic art imagery. Like Kim was saying, we have a lot of Arabic calligraphy that we use, cutting out steel portions and...
Right. and we haven't even actually said what this is that we're talking about. You are the artist behind the Pakistani Cargo Truck Initiative.
That is
what is that? It'll be unveiled tonight, we should mention, at 7 o'clock, right?
At 7 p.m., yes.
And this is on the north side of the block building at the museum. What will they see when they come?
They will see a monster truck pulling around the lot and hopefully without any issues driving it there. Basically, essentially what we've done is we've taken a 52 Chevy pickup. We've cut the cab in half and mounted it on a GMC Top Kick frame, which is a box truck, to kind of get the same body style of the Pakistani cargo trucks they traditionally use, which are Bedford trucks. But we chose the Chevy, the 52 Chevy, because it's a staple in the farming industry in that time. And it's also got the same aesthetic body lines as the Bedfords used to traditionally create these vehicles. And originally, we were gonna scale the truck down and do it on a much smaller version. But what we've come up with as the project progressed is a life-size Pakistani cargo truck.
Okay, so let me turn back to Kim here. The Pakistani cargo truck is not the first thing that comes to mind when I think, oh, there's an exhibition of Islamic art. How much crossover has there been between contemporary art and this sort of ancient cultural richness of Islamic art?
Well, we're looking at a really rich history of visual traditions here that go back in the Islamic world almost to the founding of Islam in the 7th century. You know, some of the elements like arabesque, floral imagery and geometry really can be tracked back that far into the Near East and then the Eastern Islamic world, which we generally would consider the Asiatic parts of the world, Turkey, Central Asia, Iran, and India and South Asia. I think the cargo truck is probably a surprise for some people because they think of it as a modern tradition. But if you look at the decoration, the ornamentation on these magnificent, lumbering, monstrous vehicles, there's a lot of reference of floral imagery, a lot of design, a lot of care that the artists have put for decades into manufacturing these trucks that really makes them linked to their visual past. And so I think all of the contemporary artists in the show, we selected works from artists who were purposefully linking to their visual past.
Well, and can you give us some examples of the ways you are pairing ancient or classical works with contemporary pieces?
Okay. Well, for example, I'll use something rather simple. Two of the works in the exhibition that we paired together are a traditional Persian bowl created in the 12th century in the Seljuk period that's filled with kind of a geometric design, which itself is rendered in white and blue and black slip painting that's kind of vegetal, like arabesque in its inspiration. And we paired that with a group of geometric paper plates created by the artist Hamer Abbas, who's a Pakistani artist who's working currently in America. And her work, she made these beautiful, very delicate collages of paper, which is cut into very fine, thin little strips. They're almost translucent in light. And she had printed on the strips, "Please serve yourself," or "Go get served," something like that. And then she laid them out in a paper plate press in Lahore in Pakistan very carefully to recreate the intricate patterns that you see in geometric designs on buildings or manuscript illustrations, these wonderful star patterns. And then she pressed them. And these are the same plate presses they used to make leaf plates in the market. When you would go buy plates, you'd eat off of these paper plates that are actually leaves, and then you'd throw them on the ground and they disintegrate. And so she's playing with this idea of the preciousness of the design and the care and its relationship to traditional Islamic art, but with a very modern utilitarian object in a very kind of funny way.
The exhibition Echoes opens this weekend. It runs through March at the Nelson Atkins Museum. We're talking today here on Central Standard on KCUR with Kimberly Masteller. She's the Jeannie McCrae Beals Curator of South and Southeast Asian Art at the Nelson, and Ashir Akram, one of the artists featured in the exhibition. Ashir, you are of Middle Eastern descent, but you live here in Kansas City. Is that unique combination in your own heritage and your own story part of what's at work in your exhibit?
Absolutely. I kind of see the truck. Initially, it was kind of a self-portrait. It's a real mix of my identity and the identity of the other artist working on the project is also displayed visually through through all the aspects that go on to the vehicle itself. We have hand-carved wooden doors like they have in Pakistan, but instead, well, with the Pakistani cargo trucks, you could distinctly tell where the driver is from based on the Moffitts that they've used to decorate their vehicles. So we've taken that same idea and played it in a Midwest way, but I've also sort of lifted Islamic pattern work and kind of tied that into the Midwest theme that we have.
It seems like a ton of work. I mean, how long did this take to put together?
I am exhausted.
I understand you weren't even sure you'd be able to join us today because you weren't sure all this would be done, right?
Yes, I'm running on about 4 hours of sleep. We actually have people listening to the radio right now in shop cleaning the truck, getting it ready. Getting it ready for the show, my mom being one of those. Hi, Mom.
Well, everyone wants to say that on the radio. I want to invite, in fact, our listeners, whether you're working in a shop or just sitting at home, to call us. If you have questions for our guests, are there examples of Islamic art or architecture that you've seen either around town or around the world that really stand out to you? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. We'll also check our email at centralstandard@kcur.org. What motivated the Nelson Atkins to take on this exhibition, this particular focus at this particular time, Kim?
Well, I think Islamic art, first of all, it's wonderful. So it's a great subject anytime, but it's certainly timely at this time in our history. And unlike other museums, many museums in the U.S. and internationally have just reinstalled their Islamic collections. And ours actually went off view in 1980 for a gallery renovation and really haven't been on view since. And so when I came to the Nelson about 4.5 years ago, one of the first projects that we did was to survey what's in the collection, what's in storage, and to see, you know, what our opportunities were. And we have this wonderful historic collection of Islamic art that actually goes back to 1933 when the Nelson Atkins opened to the public. It was one of the original bodies of work that they chose to acquire to represent world art. And one of the great pieces we found in storage was my first time to our offsite storage site. I was walking around with a colleague and we saw these wooden, dusty old crates written in marker that said Islamic mosaic. Mm-hmm. And so we asked the prep staff, could we open those, take a look at those and see what those look like? And lo and behold was this stunning mosaic from Iran. They are spandrels to a giant Islamic arch. It would have been an entranceway, probably dates to around 1600 from central Iran. And it's beautiful with cobalt ground tiles and turquoise and scrolling ochre-colored vines. And if you look at the ochre in the light of the gallery, you'll see still traces of gold leaf. They were originally covered with gold, and you could just imagine how these would glisten in the sunlight.
Yeah.
And when we saw the arch and looked at the rest of the collection, we knew we had to do an Islamic show, and we began working on it.
So that arch will be on display.
Oh, the arch is the entrance to our exhibition.
Very good.
And we're so proud. We have over a year of conservation work to get that arch ready to show. So it's been a real team effort to put this show together. We had a team. Ashir had an enormous team of helpers, and we're really excited to share it all with the public.
Kim, you mentioned that a lot of galleries and museums are putting their Islamic displays back out now for public consumption. Were the reasons that Islamic art was not being shown as frequently the last decade or two? I mean, political reasons? Was it about the attitude of Americans toward Islam?
I'd actually say it was the opposite. You know, I was a co-chair of a panel at a conference a few years ago about reinstallations of Islamic art after 9/11. And there have been a lot of articles about this as well. But after some of the recent, you know, events in our contemporary history and world history, there's, if anything, been more of a hunger and an interest in art and culture of the Islamic world. And so this is probably best demonstrated by the reinstallation of the galleries at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, which opened last year or 2 years ago or so, and have been an absolute hit with the public. They have one of the greatest collections in the country. But getting to your first question about the definition of the terms of Islamic art, they chose to give it a very long name: art of the Arab lands of Turkey, Iran, Central Asia, and later South Asia.
So as not to associate it with a word that for some people has difficult implications.
That could be part of it. Also getting away from the religious designation for some people. But it's funny because whenever you talk to your colleagues about the Met show or the Met installation, they always say, what do you think of the Islamic galleries? Everybody falls back on that mm-hmm. definition. And so when we were trying to decide how we would talk about this at the Nelson, we actually did a series of visitor surveys and audience surveys, both with the general public, but also with members of the Kansas City Muslim community. And so our first series of surveys and research were on the title itself and the use of Islamic art. And we found that our local audiences found it useful. They didn't mind that term. They were more concerned about the way we talked about the relationship between past and present and getting that right. And so actually was several series of surveys and conversations with community members that we landed on the title Echoes. Mm.
And in fact, we have a statement from the Heartland Muslim Council supporting the exhibition. And they commend it, but also point out that there's a good deal of Islamic-inspired architecture and art on display full-time, year-round in Kansas City, especially at the Country Club Plaza with its arches mm-hmm. and domes and minaret towers modeled on the Spanish city of Seville.
Yes. I think a lot of people know that our sister city here in Kansas City is Seville, Spain, and a marvel at the beauty of Country Club Plaza and its relationship. But I don't think people know where Seville got her style.
Yeah, and it's from the world of Islamic art.
Absolutely, the Moorish Islamic Empire.
Ashir Akram, you, as an artist represented in this exhibition, I know you were born in Oklahoma City. You live in Kansas City. We've had folks of Middle Eastern descent here on the program before talk about their experience growing up in this area during these last 12, 15 years. Does that shape kind of who you are and how that's expressed in your art?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Being from the Midwest and experiencing everything as an American and especially prior to college, having to kind of live in the suburbia that we live in and grow up the way that we grow up, and then actually taking a trip in 2010 to Pakistan and learning what that experience was like and kind of living that way, that's really shaped the way we formatted a lot of the work that I've been creating.
I want to take a call from Linda in Kansas City, who I understand actually worked on the Pakistani cargo truck project. Is that right, Linda?
Yeah.
So what do you think of it? I guess you're biased, but you can tell us anyway.
I am biased. I just think it's so marvelous that he took that trip and took something difficult. And in our country, it's interesting to try and understand another culture. And he took something that he found there and just presented it in such a joyful manner. I just think it's really amazing. I'm just so knocked out that he got this together and did it.
Linda, what's the one thing about the cargo truck that you think viewers should not miss if they come to see it?
Oh, just take a look. There's a lot of color, a lot of pattern, a lot of chaos, and I think that it's just so joyful. You'll just get it right when you see it. It's just marvelous to take something from another culture and help us, in especially in the Midwest, where we don't get to get out that much, you know, to see, try and help us understand what's going on.
Linda, really appreciate you calling in. Thanks so much.
You betcha.
So, Kim, what do folks need to know about the exhibition? What are the details? When can they come see it at the Nelson?
Well, today is the member preview day, so members are welcome. Since 10 a.m., please come on over and see the exhibition. But if you want to see the truck, come to the block building entrance on the plaza level on the north side of the building at 7 p.m., and Ashir will be driving it here. It opens officially on Saturday, but I'll tell you, we've had so much momentum around this show and so much public interest that I think after the member opening today, you can probably just come tomorrow.
You might be able to get in tomorrow to see it.
You might be able to get in tomorrow.
Admission, of course, as always, is free. I understand there's also some partnership projects over the next several months. I saw there's a program with the Friends of Chamber Music giving a concert. Mm-hmm. There's other organizations in town that you're working with. Give us a little glimpse of that.
Yes, we have some great partners. In fact, back to the inception of the project, when we were working on this show 2 years ago, we found out that Janet Simpson and the Kansas City Artists Coalition was also planning to do Islamic programming. So we paired up together and are offering kind of joint programming. She has an exhibition at her galleries at the Kansas City Artists Coalition right now through September called Islamic Exchange. That's a partner show. The Kansas City Public Library is hosting a related lecture by Professor Ali Asani from Harvard University on Muslims and Islam Beyond the Headlines. And the Chamber Music, Friends of Chamber Music, are hosting a Jordi Savall concert October 31st on Halloween.
That's Kimberly Masteller. She is curator of South and Southeast Asian art at the Nelson Atkins Museum. Ashir Akram is an artist whose work will be unveiled tonight at 7 p.m. as part of the Echoes exhibition on contemporary and traditional Islamic art. Thank you both for being here with us today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You can learn more about this. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can hear this conversation again. You can hear any of our previous shows by going to the Central Standard page at kcur.org. You can also hear Frank Morris's report on horse slaughter plants that we talked about earlier in the program. Tune in tomorrow as we explore the pioneer history of Kansas and we look at a new museum. Up to Date is coming up next with family decisions about whether and when to have kids. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Ross Steinmetz. The announcer is Kim Noble, and Bill Anderson is our executive producer. I'm Brian Ellison. This is KCUR.